Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Yackel, Executive Director of AWAI, with a very exciting opportunity for you from a very special guest. Hi, Ryan. I'm going to give everybody a hint. How are you?
Hi, Katie. I'm doing great, and I'm really excited to be here chatting with you.
Okay. So this mysterious Ryan that I'm speaking with is none other than Ryan Levesque, the CEO of the Ask Method Company and author of the number one best-selling book, Ask, as featured by Inc. Magazine as their number one marketing book of the year and by Entrepreneur Magazine as their number two must-read book. The Ask Method Company was ranked number 462 on the 2017 Inc.'s 500 list and name number 7 fastest growing company in Austin, Texas. And there are a lot of fast growing companies there. So that's so impressive. Ryan is also CEO and co-founder of Bucket.io, the leading marketing funnel software entrepreneurs are using to build interactive quizzes, assessments, and surveys to segment their audience into buckets and create a tailored buying experience. So, Ryan, so excited to talk to you, and especially because of the reason that we're talking. You have a very amazing opportunity within your organization for a senior copywriter to actually be working with you, and I'd love to just hear more about it right from you.
Yeah, well, Katie, first of all, it's an honor to be here. Really excited to be chatting with you, and I'm really excited because there was a point in my life that this position that we're looking to fill would have been a dream opportunity for me. So I'll kind of paint broad strokes, high level, what this opportunity is about, and then we'll kind of get into some of the more specifics. So we're looking to hire a senior copywriter who's going to have responsibility for what we call the voice of Ryan. So in our company, the Ask Method Company, all of our writing comes from me as the personality, as the face of the business. This person would have responsibility for carrying the voice of Ryan. This is a written voice of a $10 million brand, one that's growing considerably. This person would also have responsibility for writing some of our most important copy, as well as helping to mentor and copy chief some of our junior copywriters as well. So this is a role that will be very high profile. Written copy that's going to reach literally millions of people, and have responsibility for overseeing some of our junior copywriters as well. And so I'm happy to talk more about the specifics, but as we kind of paint the picture of what's here, and this role is one that will work closely with me personally, and will work closely with our chief marketing officer as well.
Well, I think I said this when I first heard about it. This is a sweet gig for the right person. So let me ask you a few questions so that we can find that right person from among our members. And
perfect.
I want to start by just asking a little bit about the ask method. You know, specifically, who are your customer? What's important to them? And how do you solve their problems?
Totally. So the ask method is an online marketing methodology that uses a unique combination of surveys, quizzes, and assessments. And it's a methodology that begins with their three phases to the process: discover, segment, and launch. So discover is where we use a very specific type of survey to deeply understand your market. We're doing a deep dive survey asking very specific questions to understand the psychology of your market, the deep emotional hot buttons that your market has, to understand their pain points, to extract the natural consumer language. So as a copywriter, you're going to love this, to extract the natural consumer language that your market is naturally expressing so that you can echo that back in your messaging online, in your emails, on your landing pages, in your sales pages, in your videos. That's the first phase. The next phase is a phase that we call segment. When we do this deep market research, and if you've ever written copy, you can appreciate this. In most markets, it's rare that there's one avatar. Oftentimes, there are different subgroups of people that have different needs, wants, and desires. So in the segment step, what we're doing, what we teach our customers, is how to build what's called a segmentation funnel. Oftentimes, this is a quiz, assessment, or maybe just a few simple questions that you ask on your website that's designed to put people into different buckets. So that way, the email sequence that they receive, the headline that they receive or see on their sales page, is different based on their bucket. And the third phase of the process is launch. And this is where you take all that work you've done, all that market research in the discover phase, the funnel, the segmentation funnel that you've built in the segment phase, and you launch it into the world. And you begin by running traffic to it, optimizing it, and scaling it. And so this is the marketing methodology that's the cornerstone of our business. I wrote a book on the topic. It became a number one national best-selling book, Katie, as you mentioned. And we have an entire company where we teach entrepreneurs this very specific marketing model. We have a best-selling book. We have an online flagship training program. We have coaching and mentorship programs. And we even have a certification program where we certify other marketers in the process so they can implement this for their clients. And so when I look at who our customer is, our customer, broadly speaking, is an entrepreneur who's looking to launch or grow their business online. And it's one who resonates with this idea of, rather than selling in a one-size-fits-all way, instead begin by putting people into buckets so you can tailor the messaging and products that you sell to someone based on their unique situation.
Wow. This is a marketer's dream, to be able to actually write copy that speaks to this, that is helping entrepreneurs in this way. It's so exciting. Brian, I want to jump right into now. So what's your business model for acquiring new customers?
Perfect. So our business model in a nutshell is relatively simple. So if we look at beginning with the middle and back end of our funnel, if you will, we have a flagship online training program. It's a $2,000 online training program called the Ask Method Masterclass. This is something that we open up periodically a few times each year, and we have big intakes. So we run it like a college course, where the course opens up, we bring a bunch of students in, we close enrollment, and then we focus on helping those students graduate from the masterclass and achieve success in their business using what we teach. If we look at the back end of the funnel, some of those students will opt to invest in our coaching and mentorship program. This is a $15,000 program, and this is a program where we work more closely with entrepreneurs, where me and my team of coaches work with them both online and through our in-person intensives, our live workshops, and hold their hand through the process. We also go beyond what's just covered inside the online masterclass. And last but not least, we have a $20,000 certification program, and we have some entrepreneurs who decide that as they go deep into the ask method, they get really excited about the opportunity to implement this for other clients, for other businesses. That's a $20,000 program, and we certify people after they've passed an actual certification exam, as well as a practicum, which involves building funnels, two funnels for other businesses, where they then become certified once they've hit certain benchmarks. So if we start with the middle and end of our funnel, the back end of our funnel, then we can go back to the beginning and answer your initial question, which is, how do we get people to sign up for these programs? And so we are a traditional direct response company in the sense that the bulk of our traffic is generated through paid advertising. Our biggest channel is Facebook, and we will run traffic to different quizzes, assessments, and lead magnets. So a few examples. Number one, we obviously have a book. We sell thousands of copies of our book every single month. It's a physical book that we sell. It's available in bookstores, but we also sell it online. We practice what we preach. So rather than sell things in a one-size-fits-all way, we actually put people through assessments. So we have various assessments and questionnaires where people can answer questions to tell us a little bit more about who they are, so we can customize, for example, the lead magnet that we send them. So rather than sending everybody the same lead magnet or PDF or mind map, we'll ask a few questions about where they are in their business right now. So rather than send something to them that may or may not be relevant, we can send them the piece of information that's most relevant to them. So this is at a high level, sort of what our funnel looks like. Now, what I think is really exciting and why this is such an exciting time for someone to be joining our team is for the past year, we've focused heavily on the middle and back end of our funnel. And it converts incredibly well. We put a ton of effort. I've invested a ton of money into delivering what I believe are absolute world-class programs. And our theme coming into this year is to bring as many people into our world as possible. So here are a few big initiatives that we've got in this coming year that the person in this role will play a major part to make happen. So number one, I have the next book in what's a three-book trilogy that we'll be releasing in 2018. This book is Choose. And so in Ask, it's a book where I teach the model I use to successfully enter 23 different markets. But what I did not teach in that book is how I chose those 23 markets in the first place. And I have an equally analytical and quantitative methodology that I use to evaluate the size of the market, to evaluate the competition, to evaluate if the market is in what we call the market sweet spot or not. And there's an entire process that I've never taught before that we are releasing in the form of a book, a second online course, and as well as free resources that we'll make available online. So this is a brand new channel that we've never launched before. And I expect that this book will sell more copies than Ask. And in case you're curious, Ask has sold well over 100,000 copies worldwide.
Wow.
So that's one initiative that... Sorry, go ahead, Katie.
You're going to need a lot of copies for that.
So we've already beta tested. We've already introduced the Founders Circle sort of initial beta version of this course. The demand is there. There's a ton of demand. And now our focus for this coming year is going to be building out this funnel, writing the copy for this funnel. That funnel is going to involve copy for Facebook ads. It's going to involve copy for a webinar. It's going to involve copy for a sales page, copy for a landing page. So that's an example of, and we do a lot of testing in our business as well. So we're always trying to beat our controls. We do a lot of testing with email. So we'll run multiple emails head to head. We'll run multiple landing pages head to head. So we're always trying to beat our control when it comes to any funnel that we produce. So that's an example of a funnel that we have on the books for this coming year that's going to be a big initiative.
Lots of writing projects in that.
There's a lot of writing opportunity for there for sure. We also have a few launches coming out this coming year. So one of the things that's a big project for us is building out our content engine. So we haven't traditionally done a lot of content marketing. And we have a podcast/TV show that's coming out in this coming year that's going to serve as the backbone for our content strategy. Well, when we release this podcast, just like when we release our book, we want to launch with a bang. We want, you know, our new initiative to rise to, you know, new and noteworthy podcast on iTunes. We want to get, you know, hundreds of thousands of listeners out of the gate so that, you know, we can explode into the market with this new thing. So in this role, that's another example of the type of copy that you'll be writing. So you can think about it as there'll be important funnels, call it strategic funnels, where there's an opportunity to do a lot of testing, split testing, headline testing, et cetera. And then we'll also have several big launches over the course of the year for some really big, new, exciting projects.
That's so exciting. Now, you mentioned that this writer will be doing some copy chiefing as well. What will that look like?
Yeah, so we have a team of writers. And so my background, just for anybody who's curious, is before I built this business, before my team and I built the Ask Method Company, before that, the way I entered 23 different markets using what's come to be known as the Ask Method is I worked with clients and I would partner with clients and be hired by clients to write copy for their funnels. And that's how I was able to refine and I don't like to use the word perfect, but really refine the methodology that's come to be known as the Ask Method. And so my background at the end of the day, is as a copywriter. So that's kind of my unique superpower. And so in our business, even to this day, I still spend a fair amount of my time writing some of our most important copy, launch video copy, copy for important promotions, copy for, you know, our 1,000-person annual event. That's a sales letter that I wrote myself. And as our business has grown, I have less and less bandwidth to spend that time writing copy. And the gap that we have in our, you know, team right now is we have some great, young, hungry, junior copywriters who are relatively new to the industry, very motivated, very excited to write kind of the day-to-day copy that needs to go out. So I'm talking about, you know, the daily email that goes out, landing pages on some of our smaller, you know, initiatives that we might have. We might have a flash sale on something and copy needs to be written quickly for that. So kind of our less strategic stuff, but stuff that still needs to, the copy that needs to go out the door every single day. And so I don't have enough bandwidth in my schedule to be really coaching and mentoring those junior copywriters to help them, you know, identify, hey, you know, this email was good, but next time we might want to try a headline or a subject line that looks like this instead, and here's the reason why. I just don't have enough bandwidth. I can do it. I have the skill to do it. I just don't have enough bandwidth in my schedule to continue mm-hmm. playing that role. So this senior copywriter would fill in into my shoes in that capacity and really kind of coach our writers. So, you know, a few examples. We might have an email that goes out, not necessarily anything wrong with the email, but maybe the subject line isn't super compelling. There's not enough curiosity. There's not enough specificity in it. The hook is just kind of, you know, middle of the road, nothing really exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the opportunity to coach a junior copywriter on how do you make that copy have more teeth while at the same time being on brand. So when I talk about, you know, what's important in this writer, we have direct response roots, but at the same time, we have brand aspirations. And I say that because a lot of writers who come from the direct response world, sometimes there's very little consideration to branding, right? The brand isn't the primary consideration. They're kind of, you know, diametrically opposed. And that's how I came into this world, right? I learned that branding is bad. Branding is big companies wasting a ton of money on stuff that you can't measure.
Right.
But direct response is where it's at. And so as I look at this role, the constraint is, you know, for example, writing that converts, but is on brand. So there's certain words that we don't like to use in our writing, even though they might pull better, right? We might get a better open rate, or we might pull better response using that word isn't really on brand. And so we sacrifice conversion just a little bit to make sure that we can preserve our brand for, you know, the bigger vision and longer term vision of the company. And so it's an interesting challenge. And so if you like kind of working within that constraint, like these are words we can't use, and this is kind of the attitude that we want to convey, but at the same time, it needs to convert. How do you make that happen? And so it's a lot of fun for a writer that likes to kind of play in that type of environment.
Sure. Now, what are some other traits or characteristics that are important to you for the writer who lands this plum job?
Sure. You know, so we get a lot done in our company. And I say that because with this particular role, as a writer, our team, we have a virtual team, so we have a distributed team, but we're headquartered in Austin, Texas. So we have a core team of about a dozen of us that are based here in Austin, Texas. And we have a team currently about 50 people distributed around the world. Even the team based here in Austin, we have an office, but we basically all work from home. So like right now I'm recording this interview from my home office. Our company mm-hmm. office is about 10 minutes from my home. Some of the things that are really important. Number one, you are someone who can, loves working remotely. You are able to hit deadlines and produce high quality work within those deadlines. Can work well in a distributed team. And so, A couple things, just like super practical for, you know, for a minute. Because we're based in Austin, Texas, we operate during that time zone. So we're tech, you know, the meetings that we hold as a team, as a company, are typically between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. U.S. Central Time. So if you're based in New Zealand and that's going to be the middle of the night for you, unless you're nocturnal, probably not going to work out. Just practically speaking, because you're going to have meetings at 2 in the morning. It's going to be a bit of a challenge. So there's a bit of that. Second thing is you are someone who you're at the point in your career, as a senior copywriter where, you do not need a lot of oversight. And so when I've worked with copywriters in the past, we'll go through an initial process where you'll get to know the voice of the brand. We'll pick an initial project to work on together, because I'm a big believer in dating before marriage. and what I mean by that is before, you know, we get married, let's pick a bite-sized project to work on together. And that way we can get a sense for how we both work together. And we can get a sense
makes
if it's
so
a
much
fit.
Sense.
And I think so much of it's a fit.
Yeah.
Right? So much of it is a fit. You could be an incredibly talented writer, but if you don't like the sound of my voice, you're going to be hearing my voice quite a bit. So it's good that we're listening to this interview, because my way of giving copy feedback is a lot of speaking and not a whole lot of writing. So the way I've written copy is I copy talk. So I spend, hit the recorder, say some words, get it transcribed, and that might serve as the raw material for a project that we might work on together. And so that's, you know, so we tend to work a lot like that. And I've found in the past, I've worked with certain professionals that aren't very good, like their primary modality for learning is not auditory. Like they're someone, you know, they're the type of person that would never listen to an audiobook, doesn't really listen to talk radio. They just don't like listening as a means of learning. They prefer to read. Well, knowing that, for me, my primary modality for delivering information, and you know, in this role, we'll be working closely together, is speaking. And so, if you hear that and you say, "Oh, perfect! I love that! I love just you know, popping the headphones in, listening to the recording, taking notes on it, and I'm ready to roll." If that's you, awesome. If you're like, "Oh my gosh, I can't imagine working like that," well, that might be a good sign that this role, you know, perhaps isn't for you. And I think it's just as important to talk about who this is for as who this is
sure.
not for.
I totally agree.
And I'll talk a little bit about kind of commitment, right? So what I found is as writers become more and more senior and they get more and more experience and they get better, you know, I'm just going to say I'm looking for an A player, right? I am looking for an A player, someone who is, you know, excited about working with other A players. I look at our senior team, and this is a role that will, you know, have a seat at the table in our senior marketing team. You know, this is an elite group. You know, I consider our team, you know, a team of Navy SEALs. We move fast, we are very effective, and we have a lot of fun doing it. You know, so if you hear that and you're excited about that, about working with other A players, awesome. If you hear that and you say, gosh, I'm a little bit intimidated. I don't know if it's right for me. You know, I just want you to know we do move, you know, quickly. We do a lot of work. And I say that because when I think about this role, I can envision it taking a few different shapes. So question I'm often asked is this a full-time a job where this is all that I'm doing? And the way I'll answer that is this is a position that's going to require a substantial time commitment. Could it be a full-time role with no other clients or no other projects? It could be. Could it be a role where this is a major thing that's constantly there for you? For example, if you're a freelancer and you are you have you know something else that you're doing on the side at the same time, it could be. At the end of the day, what's most important is that we're able to get the work done. And so, you know, while we talk about how we might start around a specific ring-fenced project, I also want to be upfront and fair about kind of what we're looking for long-term. This is, for example, this probably wouldn't work if you have 20 clients, and this would be one of your 20 clients, if that makes sense. I think there's too much work to be done for that to be something that makes sense. Could you be doing this and one you know, or two other things, I think that potentially might work.
Okay. Now, I love that you record everything, and that's how you start. That's how I tend to think as well, and I definitely learn that way, and I prefer that method as well. But so walk us through the rest of the project. So let's say I get a file that has an audio recording with ideas and, you know, maybe the start of some copy. How much back and forth is there? What's the typical time frame? What turnaround time for, let's say, a VSL?
Yeah, so, you know, we're doing fewer VSLs nowadays. I did a lot of VSLs for years, just the nature of our business. But so when I look at the type of work, okay, so there's the work that needs to get out the door every single day. These are minor email promotions. This might be an email sequence for a launch that needs to be written. You know, for something like that, as our relationship grows over time, and I've worked with writers over the years, what happens is we're able to spend less and less time back and forth on something like that, right? So at the beginning, it might be, you know, here's what I'm thinking, feedback from me on the creative side of it. Okay, great. Let's tweak it. Let's make adjustments. And the goal is as quickly as possible for this role to be independent of kind of requiring input from me on the kind of day-to-day stuff that's going out there, right? So I say that this is a role that, you know, has a lot of autonomy and a lot of responsibility. So this role, you will be responsible for preserving and proliferating the voice of Ryan without Ryan, me, having to play a role in every single piece of copy. Now, when we talk about like the bigger picture stuff, you know, if I look at our business, the two kind of biggest buckets of copy that needs to be written, first copy is a lot of email. So we're a business built on the back of email marketing. We write a lot of email. Second big bucket, which is the longer term kind of bigger projects, is we are doing more and more video. Now, these videos can take the form of a webinar that might be scripted or semi-scripted, the form of actually fully scripted video. So we do a lot of on-camera video where I'm speaking into the camera and delivering a marketing message, whether it's, you know, promoting our, you know, 1,000-person annual event, promoting our, you know, our Ask Method masterclass. We spent a big chunk of our year last year writing video for that. That's the type of stuff that needs to be, would need to be scripted. And there's a bit of back and forth. There's a couple rounds back and forth. This is good. This is off. You know, this is not quite voice. You know, the way I describe it is, you know, if I'm, you know, and I don't want to, how do I say this in a way that's not going to, it's going to carry the right message.
Just say it.
Yeah. So, you know, so I don't want to sound conceited when I say this, but if I'm operating at a PhD level in copy, what I'm looking for is someone who's at a master's level. So we can have a high level conversation about that copy where I'm not having to cover the basics, right? Where we're talking, you know, the high level calculus, not here's how to do the times table. So those are the type of conversations that I can best support someone in this role around the nuances of using psychology and triggers in writing and sort of the high level bits, just polishing around the edges. Where I struggle is if someone's coming in at, say, the fifth grader level, and there's just a too big of a gap between that and PhD. It's not where my superpower is, and it's not where I can best serve a writer. So as you think about how we'll be interacting and the back and forth and the timing, think about that's the time that we want to be spending, is that type of that level of conversation and less of the, you know, the copy needs to cover the basics. Like, you know, you need to know
mechanics,
ADA.
Right.
Yeah, you need to have all the mechanics. You need to know where social proof needs to be injected. You need to know how to write a good lead. You need to know how to write a good hook. You need to know how to write good bullets, sub-bullets. You know how to organize your bullets. You need to know about risk reversal. You need to know like all of these core elements in writing any marketing message. That should just be second nature to you in this role. Like that should be, you should be able to say, yeah, that's baby stuff. Like I can do that in my sleep. What we're operating on is, you know, does this premise make sense? Is this core premise powerful enough? Is this core premise perhaps unexpected enough to kind of hit people at a right angle? Those are the types of conversations that we'll be spending time having. So there's that. You asked a question that I think is really good, which is, what can someone do in this role to impress me? You know, at the end of the day, when coffee comes to my desk, I want it to be good enough to go out the door. And so what that means is a couple things. There can't be any glaring issues. There can't be any glaring, you know, gaps. Like how come we don't have a, you know, this call to action is incredibly weak. You know, why are we doing that? You know, or for example, you know, there's no hook. How, you know, why is there, this is a weak lead. Like, why are we not, you know, grabbing people by the eyeballs and pulling them in? We're not doing a good job of that. So those are the types of things that like, when it hits my desk, they need to be covered. Also things need to be spell checked and proofed, right? That's a pet peeve of mine. When copy comes mm-hmm. to my desk and I'm playing spell checker, then we're not going to get along. I'll give you a perfect example. We had a piece of copy that was written for a direct mail campaign where we were doing a 3-part postcard mailer. And when something like that goes out the door, I might take a look at it because we're investing, you know, $25,000, $50,000 just in printing costs to go out. I want to make sure that the thing is good and is going to convert. And so we had a postcard that came out to me and it was for our big live event. And it said, Last Vegas. So it was LASE Vegas instead of Las Vegas. And right. I kind of, you know, I was, you know, pretty frustrated with that experience. I said, guys, this is $50,000 in postcards that are about to go out. And how is it that I am the last set of eyeballs to see something? Why am I picking up on spell check? So, you know, when I think about the perfect role, I'm a big believer because we teach this and I'm a big believer in it. I'm a big believer in assessments. And one of the assessments that we use in our team is the Enneagram. I don't know if you do it any of this in your world, Katie, but the Enneagram is an ancient personality typing system where there are 9 personality types, and each person has a dominant type. And the writers that I've had the most success with, this isn't a prerequisite, but this is what my experience has been. The writers I've had the most success with are ones on the Enneagram. And what that means, ones are the perfection.
Yeah.
Ones are like super kind of OCD and anal. And, you know, the best writers that I've worked with tend to be ones or have one tendencies. And for me, like when I was writing copy, and if you can relate to what I'm about to say, then we'll likely get along. The way I wrote copy was like this. I would basically keep working on a piece of copy until I stopped hating it. And when I stopped hating it, I knew it was good enough to go out the door. And like that's kind of the level of obsession and kind of passion that I think, you know, I did $130 million in gross sales based on the copy that I wrote over a 10-year period in my business. Mm. And so the stuff converts. But I think to succeed as a copywriter, if you want to be at the top of your profession, and not necessarily in the 1%, but in the top, you know, say call it 5%, then I think you need to bring that type of kind of obsession over it. Like, how do I make this better? How does this pull better? What's missing from it? How do I make this piece stronger? You know, for me, my internal barometer was, when I stopped hating it, I knew it was good enough to go out the door.
That's funny. My internal barometer is, when I want to buy it, then I know it's good.
That's probably
when
better.
I get excited and I'm like, I need to get this. Oh, wait a minute, I can get it. You know?
When you start taking out your credit cards and buying things, that's really
exactly. Yeah. Well, let's get right to this then. You know, how does this right person apply for this position? If somebody's interested, if you're just checking all the boxes for them, what should they do next?
Yeah, no, this is great. So hopefully this conversation has been helpful and you've listened to this conversation. And my goal is that this conversation has been polarizing for you. You're listening to this and you've either shut off the recording and you've said, hell no, I have no desire to be in that situation. Or you're saying, hell yes. So one of my copy mentors, Gary Halbert, used to say that there are two types of people in the world. There are John Wayne people and there are Boy George people, and never the tween shall they meet. And the more polarizing you can be, the better of a match you'll be able to find. And this is truly a match. So the next step, if you're hearing this and you're saying, Ryan, I'm hell yes, this sounds so awesome, I'm super excited, here's the next step. The next step is to go to askmethod.com/copywriter. askmethod.com/copywriter. And I think we'll provide this this link in wherever this interview sits as well.
Yes,
if you go to that link,
definitely.
That'll take you to a page that articulates in writing much of what we've talked about in this interview, about what the role involves, the specifics in terms of the type of work that you're going to be doing. And then on that page will be a link and button to apply to the role. I will say this, spoiler alert, it's one of the things that's really important is the ability to provide, is the ability to follow clear instructions. And so when you go to that page, if there's something specific asked of you, please do yourself a favor. If you listen to this interview, this is my tip to give you a leg up in this opportunity. Follow the instructions exactly.
And
I will leave it at.
Can I add proofread whatever you send in?
Yes, exactly. If a writing sample comes in with Lost Vegas, L-A-S-T Vegas, you can be the most amazing writer, but I think the door will be shut because it's going to bring back some painful memories.
Ryan, I can't let you go without talking copy just a little bit, and I'd love
to hear
what you're seeing as the most exciting trend right now in either copy or content.
Totally. I like to think that what we focus on here in our company is at the forefront of one of these biggest trends. And so, I always found it challenging when I would write copy, and I call it kitchen sink copy, and we've all seen it before. If you're looking to start your business, or you're thinking about launching a new product, or you're thinking about scaling your company to the next level, or you've just struggled with other solutions that you've tried in the past, this is the most important letter that you've ever read, and here's why. It's kitchen sink copy because they throw everything but the kitchen sink at you. And with the ability to micro-target people based on their buckets, we no longer have to rely on that catch-all, one-size-fits-all copy. And instead, by asking a few simple questions, can really micro-target the copy that we're writing in a way that speaks directly to that person. And, that's what we teach. That's what we practice, what we preach. And so one thing I failed to mention is that in this role, you will likely be writing variants of the copy that you write for each of our five buckets of customers. And we have a different avatar for each of these buckets. We actually have a different real customer. So like one of our actual humans that is a paying customer of us, we have a different one and these are people who are in very different stages of their life, different stages of their business. And so I think that in a big way is the future of copy online. More micro-targeted messages that reach a smaller, very specific group of people, and less of these kind of old controls that reach a giant mass market.
Throwing out that big net. And I love that because it becomes such a more organic, natural conversation. And it is the start. It sets the framework for the conversation you're going to be having with this customer, hopefully for years and years to come. So I
totally
love that trend. And we have the ability to do it. So why not?
For sure.
Why not do that?
Yeah, I mean, all the legends in our business, right? You know, so I came into this world hand copying all the Gary Halbert letters, you know, studying, you know, Ted Nicholas and studying Dan Kennedy and all the classics that we've all studied and that I'm, you know, I'm sure many of you on this call have studied. And you have, you know, kind of the outrageous copy style of a Dan Kennedy. You've got the kind of folksy, write how you talk writing of a Gary Halbert. The style that I believe in is when you can identify exactly what situation somebody is in, that mm-hmm. allows you to write in a more plain spoken way that you don't necessarily need to rely on the over the top mechanisms to really, you know, grab people by the eyeballs. Instead, if I said, you know, if your name, if I knew enough about you, and I don't, you know, I'm going to make them up, but if I said, you know, if your name is Katie and you were born between this year and that year, and you're, you know, looking at, and you, and your passion is writing, there's a very interesting thing that I came across the other day that I think might be really fascinating for you to learn about. You don't need to go any more over the top than that. And I know it's just giving like a, you know, a spur of the moment fictitious example, but it allows you to write in just a very specific.
It connects. There's a connection. Yep, I'm raising my hand. Oh, I am Katie. I am born then. I do like to write. Okay, tell me more.
Exactly. And so that's kind of our style. That's kind of my philosophy when I think about writing copy. And so if you look at our writing style, it's not really over the top. It's not, it doesn't feel like it's written by a copywriter. Some of the stuff does because it's maybe written by someone that is really learning the craft. But I think that's important as well. As you think about, you know, is this role right for you? And kind of my beliefs and philosophy around, and I think we're going to see more and more of that type of copy pull and convert better. Whereas, you know, the old ways of, you know, if it looks like hell, it sells, the over-the-top, overhyped copy, I think the pendulum has really swung in a different direction where that is feeling a bit passé. It's feeling like it mm-hmm. almost has a bit of a negative connotation in a way that might have pulled better in years past. And now people are looking for something that's more plain spoken, more direct, and more that speaks to their specific needs, wants, and desires.
That's great. Last question. Your best piece of advice for success as a copywriter?
Write a lot. Write yeah. a lot. And the way that starts is by, you know, the advice that I was given was hand copy old control letters. And I did that, and I'll tell you the one other thing that nobody else talked about, and it depends on your style, but here's a pro tip. When you're writing out by hand, old control copy or new control copy, speak the copy as you're writing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a multi-sensory mm-hmm. experience where the process of writing the words in your hand, slowing it down in a way that doesn't happen when you type it is important. And what's doubly important is you're saying the words. I feel like I could speak like Gary Halbert if I needed to. I feel like I could speak to like some of my other copy mentors reading their copy because sure. of that practice. And so that would be my advice.
That's wonderful advice. And Ryan, thank you so much for bringing this opportunity to us and for letting me share it with our members. I'm so excited to hear about who you hire, and I wish you so much more success, and I'm excited for your new book, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person at the Web Intensive in February.
I'm so looking forward to that as well. And Katie, I have to tell you, I have a spidey sense that there's someone listening to this interview right now who is going to get this role. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share this with you, with your community, and I can't wait to tell you about who that person is.
I want to be first in line. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Ryan, and keep in touch.
Thank you, Katie.